Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt, the Barbarian.
America, we're so glad you're here tonight. Welcome one and all. Well, my friends, we are broadcasting again from Valhalla Studios here in the deep mountains of Arizona. We meet again. I tell you every week to always be a very happy warrior. We're surrounded by all kinds of war and pestilence, rampant immigration, uncontrolled borders. Yet at the same time, there are many great things still about America, but there's always danger. And our commandos surround the studio tonight, the machine guns drawn, ready for action, ready for imminent attack by the drone strikes of the Biden regime, or anything else they can throw at us. Thank you all for being here. This is the epic episode 183 tonight. Today's show theme of the Irish Revolution. Star date on November 30th, 2023 AD. The last day in November. Tomorrow, it's already December the 1st. Winter's rolling on very nicely. Arizona's cooling down. And we love it. Snow tonight in Flagstaff, probably in the Mongian Rim country, there by Sedona, Tisholo. Looking forward to that. Today I'm Nordic, and I love the snow and ice. Arizona gets cold, I'm happy. Well, tonight, my friends, will be a very special night. We do have a mystery VIP guest, which I'll get into later. And also, as you know, during the winter months, especially fall, winter, and spring, we will be having many more VIP guests. Sort of the season for it. During the summer when it's super hot everywhere, we get probably a lot more callers. People are inside more. And that's good, too. But now, again, the show is famous for changing gears, and tonight will be no different. Either we use history as a guide, or we go extinct as history marches onwards. The choice is always ours, my friend, and I can tell everyone on the radio each week, we are a world at war. We are not a world of peace, though we should be, but we're not. Kissinger, the big globalist, is now dead. So, one down, more to go. How about those apples? Kissinger was no friend of America. He was no friend of the white European man in this nation, to be blunt. He just wasn't. He was all for open borders, uncontrolled third world immigration into America. Yes, he served well under Nixon, but that was a whole lifetime ago. His last 20, 30 years has been on the global stage, thwarting America, thwarting your will. And that's how you need to remember Dr. Henry Kissinger. It's no friend of yours, no friend of America. Enemy in many people's eyes. He was for the gun confiscation, for example. He was for restricting your freedom of speech. So taking away your rights. Now, we fought wars to have these rights, Bill of Rights, our U.S. Constitution, and we're not about to give it away just because some big fat Kissinger says so. Catch my drift? Well, the Von Wien Show is on every Thursday night. We will discuss tonight the Civil War going on later in the show in Ireland due to the recent stabbing of three children. And they have nonstop third world immigration invading the Irish coastline from the fucking third world, as the Irish say. They're going to drink the fucking whiskey, and they're going to get out there, and they're going to cling some heads this coming weekend. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. You'll see amazing things, as I told you before. The Irish people are fucking crazy when they get some whiskey in them. And when they get angry, that Irish temper is legendary, and they're pissed. And they have every right to be. Righteous indignation will trump that stupid leftist government that they have, which is scum. Well, you know, we can sit back here in America and enjoy the leftovers, right, of Thanksgiving. We hope everyone had a great holiday. But while that was going on, did you hear the recent UN pronouncements? Well, I did. The evil United Nations says that they will assist the United States government in the future, of course, with gun confiscation. Unbelievable. Well, if the evil UN wanted a big war and lots of big trouble, then I say you came to the fucking right place. We know their agenda, and we are now backing down. Actually, to be very candid with you, we can't wait for the real reindeer games to begin. And the sooner the better, actually. I say let's just cut to the chase and get it on. How about those apples, right? Well, we support our Irish brothers in arms and harm's way. Though I am German-Italian, tonight we are all Irish. Let God be with them. Let God keep them safe. And let the luck of the real Irish people reign supreme in the days ahead. The great storm is ahead of all of us. It's coming to all the traditional Western countries of European descent. You know it. I know it. It's coming. The third world Muslim terrorists, and masquerading, in my view, as the mayor of Limerick, Ireland. Have you seen this guy? This little brown third world twat politician. And I despise people like him. He said he wants only Irish young men and women who were taken to the streets after the stabbing of three white children in Dublin to be, quote, shot in the head or beaten to death by the mob, typical leftists, inciting a riot himself, inciting violence. I hope this encourages even more overt pushback. People are pissed off at the level of crime, which has skyrocketed in Ireland and all over Europe. Going forward, I keep reminding our brothers up there that and our sisters that we don't need to stand on some moral high ground. Though it's nice, don't get me wrong, but we don't need to stand on some moral high ground and be so damn nice towards people who want to destroy us, or in the words of the mayor of Limerick, Ireland. No need to be nice to somebody who wants you shot in the head or killed by the mob. His words, not mine. Unbelievable. When I was a young lad coming up the ranks, there was a thing called the Irish Republican Army. And they patrolled the streets of Ireland with guns. Are guns being smuggled, I wonder, into Ireland right now? I bet they are. I bet they are big time by many right-wing factions so sick of the current situation over there. So let the games begin. Why not? What are you waiting for? Why wait? You can definitely see where all this is going, folks. The Western governments and their cuck leaders have lost complete control of their borders and immigration and law and order. So now they want to blame the far right for complaining about it. Did you know that saying Irish lives matter is now a hate crime in Ireland? Soon to come to America? Many of these leaders, as we've talked about on the show for years, are not elected. They are installed puppets. When surgeons remove a cancer from the host body, they normally do so with precision, sharp medical objects, and instruments. The cancer must then be forcibly removed, burned out, and excoriated from the body in order to properly heal. Well, I will tell you, nations are no different. It's a big show tonight. We have a mystery VIP guest, a Mr. Steve Fox. And tonight, there will be a lot of fun, a lot of great calls. I'm looking really forward to it. You've come to the right place tonight. The Irish Revolution. It's alive and well. And so is James Bond. Love that. What a classic James Bond mix from our illustrious tech wizard, the Irish Pirate, of course. And the Irish Pirate, what a very appropriate name on tonight's show. He's out there listening, of course. Well, a Michigan township has created their own militia, God forbid, right, to defend their rights to keep and bear arms. By the way, if you're a millennial, Generation Z, it's called the U.S. Constitution. I suggest you read it sometime. It's in there. Trust me. These rights shall not be infringed. What word do you not understand? And the white backlash long ago predicted has now begun in earnest in Europa, Ireland. Well, the UN, like I told you, they're really nuts. They come out with these really weird proclamations every now and then. One guy said, well, everyone's going to be really surprised when the 13-plus million illegals in America start flashing their UN badges trying to arrest whites in the suburbs with the assistance of the FBI, CIA, Marines, Army, Navy, Reservists, National Guard and Coast Guard. And my reply was, if they side with the enemy, then they are the enemy. And that's all I have to say about that. If it ever gets to that point, doesn't matter what alphabet agency you're from, if you start picking a fight with the American people, well, I say good luck, and may the best man win, and it won't be you. And to the UN tonight, a public service announcement from the Von Wiehand Show. I would tell you this, be forewarned, UN globalists, masters, and parasites. The American patriots are universally known, just known all over the world, for a very itchy trigger finger and shooting the enemies of our land on sight. And good luck to all the global participants of this game. We sincerely can't wait for this battle show to start in earnest. Oh, yes. Ireland, London, Europe, and now the USA are all blaming the, quote, far right for their own pathetic failings, bureaucratic corruption, and just incompetence from the top down. Look at Biden. Guy can't even walk straight. I rest my case, America. We've had war waged upon us in every way. You better realize the truth. Start fighting once again. The UN forces, you know, those third world mongrel beasts, savages, they conscript from those, you know, brute nations. They salivate, I'm telling you, over the thought of disarming white Americans in the suburbs with the force of international law or Agenda 2030 behind them. They can't wait to rape the white women in America. It's too bad they will all be ambushed before they even wake up. Sun Tzu in The Art of War. The battle was already won before it's fought. I am a Sun Tzu Art of War kind of guy. There's one thing that the white European man historically loves and excels at with a zeal, I would say, unknown in the entire universe. And I know you well, Mr. Patriot. I know you very, very well. Because I'm one of you. And the one thing throughout the pages of history, millennia, the white man loves almost more than life itself is war. The white European man prays for war. He dreams of war. He thinks of war. And he prepares for war 24/7. It's in his Viking in Germanic DNA, for God's sake. It is the stuff of which legends are made. Just go to your history book, the Vikings, the Roman legions, the Celts, the Vandals, Franks, the Crusades, the Medieval Knights, Knights of the Round Table, Napoleon, George Washington, and the American Revolutionaries, even the Nazis, Germanic race that once conquered all of Europe, became America in this century, Korea, Vietnam. So that's my best public service announcement to the United Nations. Did everyone have a fantastic Thanksgiving? I did. Hope everyone did. Did everyone get out there and go shopping on Black Friday? Well, they say it's an economic dud from a business standpoint. And on tonight's show, we're going to change gears a little bit. And we'll talk about the economic indicators with our VIP guest, Steve Fox. And every now and then it's good to change gears. We're going to get off the Israeli-Gaza thing. That's now old news. And this show is now moving forward like Pats and Saints once again. We never pay for the same real estate twice. We are moving forward as we should. But to kind of encapsulate the last several shows where we did talk about the geopolitics, which I love to think about and theorize, it's called the Kalergi Plan. Many of you know what that is. Well, it's where we import millions of violent third worlders into America and Europe to displace the local population for complete political control. And then when the people bitch and moan and protest, that means the native host people, when they finally see through the plan, when they protest, you will notice that the media and the government will call them Nazis, right? The Nazis, and they will arrest and censor them for hate speech. Simple, really. Well, I ask people this every now and then. It's more of a rhetorical question. Can we vote our way out of this situation? This mess. We absolutely can no longer vote our way out of this mess in my book. And everyone knows it deep down, my friends. We tried it their way, and every election cycle, it only gets worse. Now, I say brute history will be our guide. Now they're so blatant. There's still only a presidential election right in front of you. And what did the Republican Party do? Absolutely nothing. Because I've told you before, they model themselves after the loyal opposition. And if you're a loyal opposing side, and really the Republicrats right now are a controlled opposition, you're not going to say anything about it much. But they keep asking you for money, right? You got Ronna there from RNC and the big Mitt Romney fan. And don't get me wrong, if I bash the Republicans, the Democrats are far, far worse. That's the Marxist Party in America. And I'm independent. But I see through both. I'm for a third party. Well, getting back to economic indicators, Adobe Analytics revealed that online sales on Black Friday reached $9.8 billion, marking an increase of about 7.5% compared to the previous year, according to Bloomberg. Well, that's an encouraging sign, right? This trend indicates this is an encouraging sign of consumer spending despite dismal sales forecasts for the holiday season. Nevertheless, data did show that consumers were putting more buys and purchases of a lot of items on layaway or flexible payments. No one's got the cash to buy everything right now. They're doing the buy and hold plan, the layaway plans. So your average consumer is tapped out with liquidity. They don't have the money in the bank to buy something right now. They have to wait. And that is a red flag to me in the economy. Yes, overall sales went up, but they're not taking possession of their products. They have to wait. And did you know that high winds toppled the White House Christmas tree this past week? Blew it over. Blew the whole damn thing over. Is that a omen, a bad omen, if you will, or a harbinger of things to come? Or even a sign from God about the Democrat and Biden regime? I don't know, but doesn't look good. That's all I got to say. Christmas angels, they came and they fixed it, but not looking good. Now, tonight we will get into some items that we haven't talked about in a while, about the economy. And we'll talk about everything, guaranteed. We have a very diverse audience. This is a radio variety show. We want to get everybody heard. But we will change gears a little bit. Also, our UFO show is coming up again with Don Montaldo. So we're trying to book him, get him back on the show, which will be great. Looking so forward to that. Remember Wall Street? Well, sounds a bit like this.
Yeah.
Money never sleeps, pal. Just made 800,000 Hong Kong gold. It's been wired to you.
Play with you. You done good, but you gotta keep doing good. I showed you how the game works. Now school's out.
Mr. Gecko, I'm there for you 110%.
No. You don't understand. I want to be surprised.
Astonish me, pal. New info. I don't care where or how you get it. Just get it. My wife tells me you made a move on Darien. Well, here's some inside info for you. That Euroflash GQ type she's going out with got big bucks. Well, he's putting her feet to sleep. Exit visas are imminent. So I don't want you losing your place in life.
Oh, Jesus. I wish you could see this. Lights coming up. I've never seen a painting that captures the beauty of the ocean in a moment like this. I'm gonna make you rich, Bud Fox. Enough, you can afford a girl like Darien. This is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
That's right, get to work, America. Gordon Gekko's ordering you to. Well, I'm your Generation X host of German-Italian descent. And we all know that Germany and Italy were both Axis powers during World War II. Well, that beside the point, I have often looked at America from afar. I'm part of America, yet I view America many times from the perspective of somebody looking at America. I think that's why the show has always had a large international audience. We have people right now that are listening to the show in Ireland. We all wish you well. If anything is to go down, be safe, be careful. But again, they've lit a firestorm over there. It's going to be a virtual hornet's nest. They keep pissing off the people. And, well, good luck with that. The truth is what this show is about. The truth is treason in the empire of lies. You like that? Is America an empire of lies? Well, we know China is. China's terrible. Their economy's imploding left and right. Going down the drain. Evil preaches tolerance until it is dominant in the culture, and then it tries to silence good. And a wise man once said, "Welcome to the fall of Rome. You will not enjoy the experience." Well, that's where America is. We're on the precipice here. We're on the abyss. We're staring into it. Economy is, the underfooting to me is very weak. The reports I mentioned last week of 104 million Americans being out of work is accurate. Oh, sure, you might see people work in your small town. I'm talking system-wide. It's a lot of people that are not working during the day, and they can't be all working on the midnight shift from 12 to 7 a.m. Everywhere people go, Starbucks, the gym, the mall, they say everything, there's a lot of people out. Now, naturally, it's the holidays, but this was going on last summer when I mentioned it then, at that time. Well, after our great Thanksgiving feast, I would like to say that we are, once again, a world of peace, but we are not. Our enemies still attack us. And on that front, nothing has changed. Be careful what you wish for, America, because you just might get it on a silver platter. We're so glad everyone's here tonight. We're going to get to a really cool VIP guest tonight. And Steve Fox is our VIP guest. He's a legend somewhere. And tonight, he's a VIP on the legendary Von Wiehunt Show. He's a real estate and tech guy, but economic indicators are his thing. We will get into all that and the hard numbers later tonight in the interview. Steve Fox, he lived out in Hollywood, California for 20 years and met many celebrities. He's here tonight to talk about that, to kind of warm him up, as well as anything else that meets our fancy. Just some of the celebrities that he's met out there in Hollywood, California, and elsewhere in the country have been Muhammad Ali, Caitlyn Jenner, for God's sake, actor Jeffrey Rush, Alec Baldwin, John Lovitz, the infamous Morgan Fairchild, Newman from Seinfeld, and even Henry Winkler, a.k.a. Fonzie from Happy Days. Wow. What a colorful cast of characters. So since his Hollywood days, Steve Fox has now moved to Scottsdale, Arizona. We'll talk tonight about what is happening out in California and Arizona and the economy on many, many fronts tonight. Well, this is a very powerful show. As I say on each show, this show is not for everyone, but it is for many. We're glad you're here tonight. And this show can be reached all over the internet and here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night. Don't forget, next Tuesday is our Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show. Next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Don't miss it. The first Tuesday of every month, the Bachelor's Den opens up for the world to see. Well, tonight, it's the March of the Templars. Ireland's on the brink. The Irish Revolution could start at any moment. It could spill over into America and greater Europa. Tonight, you've been warned. You're entering the radio octagon. And tonight, the gauntlet has been thrown down once again. That's a battle song and a war song if I ever heard one. Love that. The March of the Templars. Well, back in the day, we saw the Wall Street movie. Gordon Gekko sounded a little bit like this.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to indulge in fantasy, but in political and economic reality. America has become a second-rate power. Its trade deficit and its fiscal deficit are at nightmare proportions. Now, in the days of the free market, when our country was a top industrial power, there was accountability to stockholders.
Our VIP guest is ready from the green room. We're going to bring in Mr. Steve Fox. We'll have a great conversation. Mr. Fox, welcome to the legendary Von Wien Show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, my friend. I don't know if I can compete with all that great news that you just imparted to the viewers.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, you and I have met before at El Choro Lodge here in Phoenix. For the people who don't know, this is a big event in Phoenix pre-Thanksgiving. The night before Thanksgiving, it's a retro Rat Pack-style lodge. And it's got at least tens of hundreds of people drinking, cavorting around, having a great time, right?
Oh,
and we were there
yeah,
with a few nice-looking blondes.
Oh, yeah, it was a fun time.
So let's start
definitely
right there. Yeah, good times.
So, Vaughn, what can I cue you in on the economy today? Maybe we should start with pending home sales. Is that something that your viewers want to talk about?
Absolutely. Let's talk about that. Pending
okay,
home
excellent.
Sales.
So,
and let's start in Phoenix, Scottsdale, and then go nationwide and tell us the hot spots. Now, I'll tell my audience for a real long time that the best deals were in the Midwest. Now, I'll leave it there, and you've got the floor, sir. It's all yours.
Well, you know, the country's divided up into four areas, the Northeast, the Midwest, the South, and the West. And Arizona being in the West, the story is pretty much the same across the United States. Pending home sales have hit 20-year lows and dropped 1.5% from the prior month and an 8.5% drop from a year earlier. And a lot of that has to do with the rising interest rates over the last 12 months.
Right. Absolutely. It's been a big factor.
And it's been a huge factor. And because of that, you would think prices would drop, but there's still such a big demand and not enough supply. So we're not seeing a lot of price entrenchment. And as a result of prices not going down, there's multiple offers coming in on many houses. So, you know, I'm looking at the indexes across the country and in the West, which is as of this month, end of November, we're at an index of 51.8. Now, how does that relate? At a level of 100, which was back in 2001, we're just about half the volume of sales from 20 years ago. A little bit better in the South and around the country. In the South, it's dropped, you know, 15 points from 20 years ago. But, you know, there was some talk today that I heard that interest rates may start coming down in the next couple of months, and the Fed's meeting on December 12th through 15th, and we don't know what's going to happen. The other interesting fact is jobless claims have risen over the last month, period ending November 25th. 7,000 more people file for unemployment across the country compared to the previous week. It's gone up, and 218,000 people have filed claims since October 21st.
I believe it. I believe it. A lot more people are out of work, folks, than what they claim. A lot of people are embarrassed to say they're out of work, or they've got, like, you know, money from parents or inheritance, or maybe they're going through their savings or 401k plan, but they're not working, making a new paycheck or making any new money. Is that what you're seeing, Steve?
Well, what I'm seeing is consumer spending's down because people are tapped out and debt's increasing. So,
right.
Across the country, I mean, there's an article running around that more people are going to file bankruptcy in the next year or so because they're tapped out.
Oh, I believe it. Credit card debt. That's a topic that we talked about before the show.
Yeah, we did.
I've got some stats on that myself, but what have you heard?
Well, I mean, credit card debt, you gotta not use your credit cards if you don't have to. The best thing with that is if you've got high, I mean, interest rates are almost at 30%, between 25 and 30% on your credit card debt. You would think that the government would stop that, but actually during the Obama administration, he was the one that spurred the legislation to allow the credit card companies to charge whatever they wanted to charge. So you could try to get a consolidation loan to lower your interest payments, but the best thing to do is if you don't have the money, don't spend it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is what I heard. I heard that the average family in America, average house, this is an astounding number, but it makes sense to me. Because I see people swipe their cards for everything, right? And me, I like to do at least half of my stuff in cash. They want to force the companies to still hire cashiers. I'm old school about that. But the average household in America has got about $17,000 in credit card debt collectively per house in America. It's down to trillions.
Yes.
That's a lot of money at 25 to 30% interest. And even those rates are going to 31 and 32% because of all the defaults. And you're right. I think we'll have a personal wave of bankruptcies, a tsunami of that, coming out of the American economy too. But the way I've always viewed it is if companies can write off debt, the average American can too. So it's unsecured debt. If you can't pay it off, write it off and move on, man. Get on with your life. Don't sit there and spend 20 years paying off 30% interest to some faceless corporation that hates you anyway. You know, that's just how I look at it. If you're like, it was out of control.
Yeah.
If you're at the point of no return, just own up. You spent too much. Write it off. Take the hit. Man up and just do it. What do you think?
Well, I think what happens is people get scared when they're in debt, and they don't know that they can take the option. And I'm not advocating everybody charge their cards up and then go out and
I'm not either. Right.
You know,
pay it off if you can.
But,
right.
But the system's kind of rigged in that you charge your cards, you can't make your payment. It then gets written off by the credit card companies, and then the bill collectors start calling you to try to get as much on the dollar as they possibly can. The credit card companies, you know, they know how much they're going to collect and how much they're not going to collect. And once they reach the threshold, they'll just write off the debt and take the losses. At 25% and 30%, they may be making money, but it's sucking all the money out of the economy. I mean, if you have a $20,000 in credit card debt at a 15% rate, your payment's about $700 a month. If your interest rate is 25% or 30%, it's almost double that. That could be a huge amount of money that could be put into education. It could be put into housing. It could be put into daycare. But instead, it just feeds the credit card companies, and they get bigger and bigger.
Right. Right.
The other thing that's occurring in the economy, and especially down in Florida, is the increasing insurance rates due to natural disasters. I was talking with an executive in the property and casualty industry, and they're just, you know, they're experiencing large amount of losses that they're pushing off to homeowners. And in some states, like California, insurance companies have pulled out because they're losing too much money, and so they're not going to insure homes or businesses.
Sure. I've worked in the insurance industry for years as a consultant, so I know that well. P&C industry is they're pulling out of areas that if it's the wrong government oversight or if they can't turn a dollar or a profit, why even be there? You're right, they're pulling out.
Yeah.
State Farm especially.
Here's an interesting thing. When you apply for car insurance, they run your credit.
That's right.
How does that relate? Why would an insurance company have to run your credit, and if your credit's not good enough, they turn you down for insurance? They're not even related.
Well, that's getting into the underwriters.
Between buying car insurance and your credit score, there's just no relation.
Well, actually, there is. There is, and that's one thing I do know a little bit about. The underwriters know. They've run those actuarial numbers, right? And like you, I'm a numbers guy, and they have found over time that people with low credit scores are bad drivers, i.e., the risk is too great, and it's the risk that you're buying. So, in other words, if you're a good driver, you have low risk, you normally have a higher than normal credit score, and therefore you'll get a better premium or bundle, whatever catchphrase or word they want to use. If you are a bad driver, you typically have a lower credit score. That means you take more risk. So if you take more risk with your personal finances, stands to reason, you'll take more risk behind the wheel of your car. And they have found that to be almost identical, to challenge you. And that's why they go, well, they run the credit for that reason.
Interesting.
You take more risk.
Interesting. So,
and then you're paying more premium to cover yourself if you're a higher risk or in a high risk category. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like they did some algorithms on that and they kind of drew correlations. I'm wondering if they're using artificial intelligence to do that.
Well, actually, I've worked in industry for many years, and I can tell you they will crunch the numbers. You know, like in the movie Office Space, the guy Milton, you know, with the pocket protector.
Yep.
They're still there. And they're in the basement. And they got guys like that crunching numbers. They use some AI now, but really they don't even need AI because there's so much economic data. People forget that when they say the finance world, everyone thinks immediately of Wall Street, which is true. But the finance world is bank, brokerage, and insurance. They're all finance companies in their own right. They each sell in their own way. And they're all finance. You always see them always linked together, bank, brokerage, insurance, almost always. And,
you know, Vaughn,
so,
Vaughn, what, how about, when we were talking the other night, in addition to, you know, some facts about the home market, how about where the commercial real estate space is going? You think your audience
yes.
would like to hear some information?
I do,
about
and I know you know a lot about that. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. That's a great topic. Go for it.
Well, the commercial space is divided into industrial, retail, office, and commercial, and it's really a market. What market are you in? Where things different? In Los Angeles, the retail marketplace was pretty much devastated after COVID. And rents are so high that small businesses can't afford to open up stores. In Arizona, what's interesting is you would think with online shopping and e-commerce and Amazon that the retail stores weren't, you know, the mom and pop and the stores in the state wouldn't be doing any business. There's hardly any vacancy in the Phoenix marketplace. And when I say Phoenix, I mean the Greater
right.
Valley, you know, Phoenix, Gilbert, Chandler, Tempe, and then in the Northwest, Peoria and Glendale. But there's very little vacancy. So, the fears that e-commerce is going to put out these real estate leases is just not well founded. I think you brought up consumer spending on Amazon on e-commerce was up over 7% last
Correct.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
But retail sales, the walk-in retail sales is up also. So that's an interesting happenstance in the marketplace. The other thing is office. Nobody knows what's going on with offices because everybody was home working on Zoom. But I'm starting to
right.
notice in the brokerage world, there's some office deals getting done. There's a lot of sublease
mm-hmm.
space that the main tenants did not want to use, and it's out in the marketplace to lease at
mm-hmm.
pretty good rates. But I just noticed that there was an office building that just sold in Scottsdale, and some of the REITs are actually just turning the keys back in, saying, "Hey,
mm-hmm.
we're not leasing these out," and they're turning back in. Some of them were being converted. Everybody thought, "Let's convert them to apartments," but there's really only
mm-hmm.
about 7 to 9% of buildings that are offices that can be converted to apartments across the United States. So there's a project on 7th Street in Phoenix, and that project was the B of A Bank building, and that has been in construction for the last 10 years. It's gone bankrupt 3 times. It just got bought again because
okay.
The configuration of the building is just not hasn't been conducive to turning it into an apartment complex, but it's so far along, somebody has to finish it. So,
mm-hmm.
Converting offices into apartments isn't for the faint of heart.
Right. Now, also, we spoke the other night about some more topics here. I want to get your take on two things, cars
sure.
and homes out of the reach of the middle class and the crypto wave that you foresee in the future? Go, sir.
Oh, okay. So let's start with cars at home. It's becoming a privilege to be able to afford a new car for the average American. I think the average payment for cars outside of insurance is about $700 a month. You can get lease deals on cars. But the average payment, if you do a loan, and the interest rates are up too. On new cars, it could be anywhere from 5 to 10%, depending on your credit. So, and there's not, I think there may be one car under $20,000, but most cars are averaging about $40,000 to get a decent car. So it's almost like you can't get a house, you can't get a car. What's the average American going to do? I don't have the answer to it. I think a big part of it is if you're coming out of college and you're younger, get a really good education and get skills. Well, you're just not going to be able to afford the things that you need to get through your life, and you're going to be renting your entire life. So that's my take
that's
on
right.
cars and homes. The crypto
okay.
wave.
It's about
I
crypto.
Mm-hmm. I think the crypto wave is coming again.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, a few months ago, Bitcoin was at like 16,000, and it's going up. There's in March.
Yeah, it is.
There's an event coming up. It's called the halving, and what that means is crypto, the Bitcoin halves. So if you've got 10,000, if crypto's worth $16,000 a coin, it cuts in half. It's worth $8,000. It becomes cheaper, and then more people buy into it.
Uh-huh.
And every period of the happening prior to that, and we're coming up, we're only 3 or 4 months away, there's a fury in the marketplace. The other day, Bitcoin was at like 38,000. So at the high, it was at 5,000. That was in October of 21. And now it's starting to hedge back up. Ethereum's starting to move. There's starting to be some push towards altcoins. There's been legislation passed. You know, everybody says the digital dollar's coming. So there's a lot of flux, and it's probably not going to settle down for another business cycle, probably for 5 or 10 years. But
yeah, because I was into some crypto a few years back, for sure. I was into Ethereum Classic and Doge and Shiba Inu and ADA Cardano. And what's your take on Doge and ADA? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I don't know. I used to think Doge was a comedy coin because what does it do, right? Like,
Right.
Well, I mean, it doesn't do anything. I mean, there's a lot of coins that do things. They're part of the blockchain. I think that if anybody's smart and wants to do some really good research, look at the blockchain and how that interrelates with crypto. Crypto is a really good tool. Banks, believe it or not, if you were to transfer, there's so many fees when you transfer money overseas. And even domestically, because it has to go through a clearinghouse bank. You can't transfer crypto from point A to point B. And all along the way, there's a fee. So that, I think, is the biggest bonus of crypto, bypassing the banks. But the banks control everything, and they're not, you know, they're having a hard time relinquishing control of the monetary system, and the governments don't want to either. It's so simple.
Right.
If you were in Europe and I needed to transfer you crypto, I could just transfer from my computer into your computer. And that ease is going to happen, but I think we still have another round of legislation and adoption for that to occur.
Gotcha.
I
also want to touch on the
So what I'd like to also say is it's very risky. So I don't want the audience to go out and start taking my advice, you know, hearing in my voice saying, hey, that's a great opportunity. It's very risky.
Right.
and I'm you know, I'm putting a little caveat on that. Don't rush out and do that. There's better investment strategies. There's better investment strategies than taking the risk in crypto.
I agree totally. And
Vaughn, you
all,
know.
Although we are doing is speculating. Go ahead, Steve.
I mean, I remember speculating going, oh, you got that? I got to have that. There was no brain behind it. It was all like, oh my God, I gotta have that. It's gonna go up, and it did go up. But you just gotta it was like a frenzy. It was crazy. It was
sure.
Crazy.
You're right, and folks, you invest on your own. It's I always say, each man to his own devices, right? Or just vices.
Each man to his own devices. Each man to
and
his,
vices.
Yeah, each
get
man
it?
To his own exactly. Each man to his own devices. And any information.
And vices. Devices.
Yeah, any
and
information
vices.
That we provide. Yeah, any information that we provide is only for informational purposes and not to be used.
Right. Only for
device.
Entertainment and informational purposes only, but everyone does their own thing. We make no recommendations of your personal investment portfolio. How about that for a disclaimer?
I think that's the disclaimer we wanted to have. And then I also now let's get off of that and let's talk about something fun that's happening here in Arizona.
Wait.
The pickleball.
I'm getting to that. The Taiwan semiconductor plant. I want you to talk about that. Many folks don't know about that, but there's a massive chip plant being built in the North Valley. It takes up hundreds of acres. And the Taiwan people are here. I see them in town. And let's wrap that with the migration of other people in the country moving to Arizona. So take it, Steve.
All right. Well,
I teed
yes,
it up for you.
Vaughn, you are right. In Anthem, north of Phoenix, there's a massive plant that's probably behind construction. And strategically having a chip manufacturer in the United States is super important, especially with the winds of China invading Taiwan. So
yes.
We have to have that. It's a commodity. It's almost like it's almost like wheat. You got to have chips. And everybody remembers what happened
right.
during COVID with cars. You couldn't get cars because they were sitting, you know, 99% completed, but there was chips that the chips, you couldn't get the chips to run the cars. So,
so
I think strategically having the plan here and having that get off the ground, in addition to the chip plants, there was a $2 billion deal signed by a board company to mount the chips, and that's going to be built in Peoria close to the Taiwan semiconductor plant. And I also, rumor has it, in building the plant, the Taiwanese are having a challenge working with unions here in the United States. Because in Taiwan, they work people 24 hours a day. They can't do that here.
Right.
And I heard there was a lot of frustration around that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And
migration
and so,
to Arizona, what have you heard? As a real estate guy, what have you heard about migration coming out to the Southwest and especially Arizona? Demographics, what's happening?
A lot of people from Chicago are moving here. I just read a statistic about New Yorkers. 100,000 New Yorkers migrated out of New York into Florida, and there 250,000 people emigrated. I guess you could call that emigration out of New York around the country. Very few here in Arizona come from the East Coast. A lot from the Midwest and the Northwest. And although it's slowed, there's still quite a few. I don't have the statistics on the total exact numbers, But that's hence the reason that the housing demand's so great and the supply is so low.
Gotcha.
Is because of that migration from, you know, colder areas. And we try to get people to stop coming here. Telling them it's 150 degrees here during the summer, but they still keep
don't
coming.
Come. We got enough people, right?
Yeah, we have.
Well,
we have
enough
people,
right?
And all the Californians that came here, who brought their politics, have changed the state. So
they did.
They've changed the state, and they moved away from California, and only. Possibly create the same problems that California has here in Arizona.
Well, yeah. It's happening.
The only good part about it is the Arizona legislature, the majority are the Republican, is the Republican Party.
Right.
And I know you're an independent, Vaughn, but to being in California for 20 years and seeing what the Democratic Party is done to the state of California. That can't happen here in Arizona.
Right. Let's hope. Because they are known as cuck-servatives here as a local joke. Nationwide, too. We call them cuck-servatives. In other words, they talk a big game, but they don't stand for anything. They don't do anything. When the heat's on, when the pressure's on, they fold like an accordion. That's all.
Well, one of the problems, and we've talked about not getting. I wasn't going to get political, but what I will bring up is
that's
the fact
okay.
that Republicans typically aren't advocates, where Democrats are,
yeah.
and liberals are. So the
True.
Voice is heard louder by liberals because they organize. And
that's right.
But Republicans typically don't advocate anything, so. I don't know how that's gonna play out over the coming years. Other than make sure
that's a good point.
If you're a conservative, vote. Go out and vote.
Right. You know what the joke is about that? They say vote harder. Just kidding.
Well, I don't know how you have
vote harder.
I guess they could do it.
I know what you mean.
California.
Oh, I agree.
Do what they did in California, send out multiple ballots to the same people.
Well, I grew up out there, so, yeah, we saw it change, too. But now we're going to get to the fun stuff, Steve. And let's talk about Hollywood celebrities. Let's start off with Muhammad Ali, who stings like a butterfly, right? And Caitlyn Jenner.
You got some great stories here, man. I guess they're both athletes. So Muhammad Ali, oh my goodness. In the early 2000s, my ex-wife, well, I guess she was my wife then, calls me up and says, Muhammad Ali's on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. So I was about 3 miles away and I had my new digital camera and I tracked him down and got out of the car and went up to him. He's with his bodyguard, and I said, can I take a picture? And he grabbed my hand, and he says, put up your dukes. And I got a picture with him, and it was such a flashback. It was like when you're around somebody who's that world famous, you have, like, visions in your head of Vietnam and Joe Frazier and all the fights I used to watch, Joe Frazier all those guys, Kenny Norton, George Foreman. And it was like being around history. It was fabulous experience. And Caitlyn Jenner, she was all around Calabasas. And, Bruce Jenner was like my hero growing up, like watching him in the Olympics. You know, I'd go out and then run around the track when I saw him. And it was like
the weeding
really
box,
inspiring.
Man, is now Caitlyn Jenner. And when I see Caitlyn as a Fox News contributor, it's such a cringe moment for me. It's so laughable. I mean, he tosses his hair.
It's such a cringe moment.
It's bizarre, man. It's bizarre world clown show, you know?
It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre when you're standing next to this person that you grew up with. And I always thought this whole that he wanted to be a woman thing was an urban myth. And so when he transitioned, it wasn't an urban myth. It was real.
I know. It's real. That's what's funny about it. So when you met Caitlin, what did he or she say? You met her at the Starbucks, right? In Calabasas, California?
Yeah, I met her at the Starbucks. Yeah, I met her at the Starbucks. And all
remember you
she
saying
said
that.
To me was, all she said to me was, let's turn around this way because the light's better for the picture.
What a fag. No, stop, man. That's bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a habit of like going up to celebrities and talking to celebrities. One of the nicest guys was Henry Winkler. That guy was fabulous.
Let's talk about Fonzie. Yeah, what was he like? Very nice guy.
My son saw him in Century City at the mall.
Okay.
And he says, Dad, that's the Fonz. So I just kind of walked up next to him. He was with another writer that looked familiar, but I never was able to remember who he was. And I started mm-hmm. talking to him, telling him what a fun time I had when I was younger. Well, you know, I'm younger. I'm an older guy now, right? Standing next to the pond.
Right.
And he was super nice. He let us take a picture with him. You know, he was just a super, super nice guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And John Lovitz was fun too. I always seem to run into celebrities in bathrooms. I don't know what that's
so you
about.
Met John Lovitz there in Hollywood. He's at the La Cienega restaurant, the famous restaurant there in the Hollywood Hills, right?
I ran into him in Sammy's camera in the bathroom.
Oh, Sammy's? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Sammy's is up. Sammy's is a famous camera store in L.A. And I was just going there looking at camera equipment, and I go in the bathroom and I look over and there's John Lovitz in the next stall next to me. I went, ah. He goes, yeah. He goes, let's not talk. I'll let you shoot a picture outside of the bathroom. It's probably not a good idea.
Right.
And
And then you saw Morgan Fairchild, right?
The same day. I know from Morgan Fairchild. That was the same day. And I was in my car and I saw her go into a store, and by the time I parked my car to get in there, she was gone. But I was like, how do you run into John Lovitz and Morgan Fairchild on the same day? You know? It just fabulous. I miss that about LA is all the celebrities I used to run into. Harry Hamlin and his wife I ran into on the hiking trails. Annette Bening to her while she was walking her dog.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. It just goes on. The list just goes on and on. Oh,
yeah, the one
Baldwin.
I
want to
hear
Alec
is
Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin. Let's get to him.
Oh, he wouldn't. He hid behind his hand. He saw me staring at him. He wouldn't talk to me.
He hid behind his hand? Okay, gotcha.
He was like hiding. He was trying to be invisible.
Huh. You saw a Newman from Seinfeld in a car wreck in L.A., right?
I saw Newman. I was driving down Ventura Boulevard, and I looked up Havenhurst. And there's Newman. You cannot forget that profile.
He was funny on Seinfeld. You mentioned Ben Affleck. You met him in passing. You didn't want to talk about him too much. You had mentioned. And you met Jeffrey Rush, the actor?
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush, the actor. Ben Affleck, I was sitting next to him in the doctor's office when my kids were little. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. But he didn't talk. He wasn't interested.
He wasn't interested in talking to you?
No, he wasn't interested.
Now, at that point, was he still dating Jennifer Lopez?
I don't think so.
Okay. You know, they're called Bennifer in Hollywood.
He was married
Bennifer.
To Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Yes, he was married to her. Gotcha. I heard she was a handful to be married to. I mean, she's a very cute girl, but I've heard that in the grapevine. She's just a handful, and she was a bit too much for Ben. Who knows?
I don't know. She seems kind of a wholesome girl, but she seems wholesome.
She does.
I
mean, wholesome, but just, I guess the word isn't, when I mean handful, I think she was too demanding is probably a better word on Ben. And he couldn't handle it, maybe.
He was a drunk.
Exactly. That's my point. Thank you for making that for me, right? I think she was trying to have a traditional marriage, and I think Ben wanted to play around in Hollywood a little bit. He tried to settle down with her, but he really couldn't do it.
Don't marry a drunk. It's that simple.
That's right.
Simple.
That's right. Don't marry an Irish drunk. Because Ben Affleck's Irish.
Aren't they all drunk?
Aren't they all? Just kidding. Oh, my God. Now I'm going to get hate mail from Ireland. Thanks, Steve. No, just kidding. Ireland's about to go to war. And they should be drinking their whiskey.
You started it all. You started doing the whole Irish thing at the beginning of the show.
I want my fucking whiskey before I get out there and I cut off some British heads. I kind of have fun with that. I play around with accents. They're pretty lame, but I have fun doing them.
They are lame.
My fucking knife, my fucking whiskey, my fucking government.
You got a good radio voice.
That's right.
Your accents aren't that great, man.
I know. They're terrible. I even say they're terrible. They know they're terrible.
Too funny.
They suck. But it's funny, though.
Too funny.
Well, we're having a blast talking, Steve. And are there any other celebrities or chance encounters in Hollywood that you would like to divulge on the infamous Fun Weekend show? Tonight is your night, sir, to come clean.
Let's see. You know, there's more, but I think that those are the good ones. I think when I was younger, I ran into Terry Bradshaw on an airplane. Way back.
That's funny.
Rosie Grier.
I like him.
Rosie Grier. I don't know if you remember Rosie Grier, but Rosie
I remember
Grier
Rosie Grier. Yep.
Reggie Jackson at the airport. He's a piece of work, that guy. Believe it or not, I don't remember when I saw him, but I ran into the Penguin, Burgess Meredith.
I love the Penguin character. Burgess Meredith. He was a sidekick to Rocky Balboa. Love that guy.
I know.
Gotham City Penguin? Are you kidding me? That was awesome. He's my favorite villain on Batman show was Burgess Meredith. Yes. The Penguin and his henchmen. Love that.
I like the Riddler, Frank Gorshin.
He's up there too. And also the Joker, Cesar Romero.
Love the Joker. Cesar Romero.
The Joker. God. See, I bought all the Batman TV episodes. I have them all on DVD. I have secured every episode on DVD. Oh, yeah. Bought the collection.
Whoa.
They're never going to make, you know, they do a printing, and they never run it again. And I picked up two, actually, back in the day.
Wow.
Found one. I found them both on eBay from two separate video houses, and I said, you know what? In case I got a bad batch, we're buying the other one just in case. So I've got both. I bought Star Trek, Mannix, the Baba Black Sheep Squadron, Wild Wild West. Come on, good stuff. Charlie's Angels, the original, not the new crap.
Boom.
Yeah, with Farrah Fawcett, the $6 million man. I've got that.
Oh my goodness,
I've got those. They're in my library. Yeah,
I have
the best.
I have, you know, speaking of Muhammad Ali, I got videotapes of the Frazier Ali fight.
Oh my God. The historical fight. I'd love to go to that back in time.
You can watch all those on YouTube, but it's so cool having the video because we recorded that stuff.
That's when boxing was king in America, you know? Good times.
Oh,
well, Steve, I ask every VIP guest this. And
go ahead.
What are your final thoughts to America tonight after our wonderful chat about the economy and economic indicators and Hollywood and celebrities that you've met who have graced your presence over the years? So I like to flip it. What are your final thoughts to America, sir? Could be anything at all. Floor is yours.
Well, Vaughn, I think that we all need to wake up and see what's really happening in America and stand up and do something about it. It's not going to get any easier moving forward. It may even get a little bit more bizarre. Keep your positive attitude and keep your faith and always have hope.
I like it.
And I think that's my parting words for America.
I like that a lot. Well, have you enjoyed your VIP, your guest status here, your VIP status on the Vaughn Wiehan Show tonight?
Oh, my goodness. It was one of my favorite things to do. You know, I was a little nervous, but I think I worked through it pretty well.
I think you did. You're a consummate professional. I would chart this up as one of the high points of your entire life, Steve Fox. What do you say?
You know, I always wanted to be I'm sort of a ham, so being on the show has given me the ability to learn something about myself and working with an amazing talk show host like you, that hopefully you'll have me back.
I will. And you can call in any Thursday night or next Tuesday. You might want to call in for that one. That's the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's our once-a-month show. First Tuesday of every month. So only 12 episodes a year on that. And that's also 8 to 10 with overtime.
So what does that – does that mean plus, I'm going to get better at dating and meeting women?
Yes. You'll pick up all kinds of tips. You play some great music, great promos. You see how I'm sort of synergizing that show with this one? We all feed off each other, right?
Yeah.
It's good stuff, my friend.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Steve, thanks for being part of the show. Appreciate you being here tonight. Great stories. Appreciate your wisdom and your wit and your Hollywood stories, and come back anytime, man. You're always welcome here.
I'd love to.
Be great.
Let's talk about pickleball the next time I'm on.
Yes, pickleball. It's the rage in Arizona. I know that. My God. Pickleball courts are everywhere, all over the country. It's sweeping the nation. It is the rage. And I like pickleball. I like it. It's a cool
sport.
We'll
play one time. We'll hook up, we'll play, and then we'll talk about it on the next show.
That's right. And one last thing. You were going to talk about some information. Maybe on the next show, we'll get into also the Apollo missions, the space program,
absolutely.
And things
absolutely.
Like that, too.
Absolutely.
Be great.
What, talk all night about Apollo and the space program. And by the way, Vaughn, we're landing an object on the moon in January on the 25th. The first time the United States has been back to the moon.
Really?
Unmanned.
Is that the official story? Is that the official story or the real story? Or do we know?
I don't know. I think there's a Russian base up there. But that's for another time.
Well, the Nazi moon base is up there, too. Like in the movie Iron Sky. Good stuff. Steve Fox, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night, buddy. We will
too.
Do it again
Love
soon,
you,
my friend. Love you, too, brother.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Steve Fox, folks. Great interview. Great guy. We will chat with him later. Well, we'll get to all of your calls. The studio board's filled up, as usual. Now, tonight, I set you guys up great with all kinds of politics, Ireland, the Irish war, with that fucking government. We got the economic indicators, the economy, Gordon Gekko, Hollywood celebrities, even the Apollo moon missions, fake or not. Well, I shall return. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Every fighter pilot from the very first gunslinger who flew a wood and wire crate at treetop level to today's manager of a very complicated weapons system knows that air combat is not just weapon against weapon.
Brought back to life the new F-4E Phantom.
Number of people, most of them are competitors, swear the Phantom. They say it's ugly. Some even contend it lacks aerodynamic efficiency. Now, I'd be the first to admit that the F-4 might not win a beauty contest. But we didn't design it for beauty contests. It was designed to fight and win, and it does both.
We went after a long-range interceptor, and we got one. We went after one that had an all-weather capability, and we got one. We employed two people. It's one of the first times in a fighter that we'd ever employed two people. And we found great advantage there as we moved into the difficulties and the complexities of all-weather intercept. I would say I wouldn't make very many changes to it.
Hey, Jimmy, it's your old buddy Angel calling you on the line there. And I was about to sit down and do like we do every Thursday night and listen to this guy, Von Weehunt, on the radio. He's a good old-fashioned machismo, hard-styled, mechanic of the airwaves, Jimmy. but what I want to ask you first before I did that is before I get into my popcorn here, I've got a game coming up, poker game. It's going to be absolutely beautiful, beautiful scam. I got that. City councilman showing up. We've got oil shakes. We got other people, maybe pornographers showing up too. And I got a beautiful cover I'm going to be using for this one, man. I just need $2,000 to $3,000 to use this game for to buy in. And then, I'll get it back to you in like a couple weeks and maybe a couple months, Jimmy. You think you could do that for me? I'll be here listening to Von Weehunt's show, all right? I'll wait for your call, buddy. I'll wait for your call.
That's right. The Rockford Files, great stuff. We reached the infamous, legendary Von Weehunt show. So glad everybody is still here in the theater. Are you enjoying the show? Are you enjoying the movie? I know I am.
Von Weehunt speaks truth to power. Von Weehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. No excuses for putting America first. Von Weehunt, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
That's right, damn right. Like in the movie Gladiator, are you entertained? When Gladiator yelled at the fans in the Roman Coliseum. Love that.
The Von Wehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehunt, The Barbarian, Thursday at 8 p.m.
Well, Steve Fox mentioned the Penguin, and we mentioned Batman, who was played by Adam West back in the day. Here's Adam West talking from Hollywood, California.
Hello, James. This is not a lawyer. My name is Adam West. I'm calling from the Batcave, James, and the reason I'm calling, the folks at Blue Water, my old chums there, told me that you were one of the greatest comic book retailers in the country. And I don't know whether you saw the teaser, but The Misadventures of Adam West are coming out. The greatest stories of true heroism since I donned the cape and cowl. I really hope that when you do your May previews order that you'll pick it up, because I'm going to promote the hell out of it. The Misadventures of Adam West. I'm sorry I missed you, James. I'll try again. Bye.
Good stuff. Yeah, a little surf music. Let's bring our breath of surfer. I haven't talked to him in a while. Maybe he's surfing off the coast of Japan or China. Mexico way. We'll find out. Brett, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
All right. How are you doing, brother?
Doing good.
How are you doing?
Doing really
well,
good.
Man. Yeah, I'm just...
You can do better, but we're doing good.
Yeah, everything's going on. The turmoil is just crazy, you know.
Are you ready to fight for fucking Ireland? They're ready to go to war over there. Love it. Our white brothers at war. Is there anything greater than that? I don't know. I don't think so.
I just wish that there were some level heads around the world. You know, I wish there were more of them. But unfortunately, with our leadership and what's going on with the borders wide open, I mean, you know, I have a place, a house down Rocky Point, and they narrowed it down to one lane leaving. You know, one lane. There were six lanes to get out of Rocky Point. So now they've moved those border agents over to Yuma because of the influx of migrants coming in. So I don't know, on a really busy week, you know, a weekend, it could be four, 4-hour wait. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just, I just hope that doesn't go on for too long, you know?
Right, right. Well, you know, what do you think about Henry Kissinger, the globalist Jew, is now dead? What do you think about that,
I think,
Mr. Surfer?
I think that's a beautiful thing, man, because he has been, you know, influential on so many different decisions over the last, 60, 70 years? I mean, it's good to know that, I mean, what was he, 100? Was he 100 years old?
Exactly 100 years old.
Wow.
Look, I tell people, they always say, well, you know, he's Jewish. I go, of course he's Jewish. First of all, everyone knows Kissinger is Jewish. Yet we will still name the Jew. It's like saying the sky is blue, right? I mean, yeah. But then like Kissinger, it's kind of like Goldstein to me, you know, Kissinger. He was like the typical Jew. He had dual citizenship, hated the real American people, and he loved getting American soldiers into foreign wars. That is his legacy to me.
Yeah.
What about you, sir?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think he's a lot. He and Soros were very influential, you know. It's a good thing, man. It's we've gotten rid of an evil, you know, not really a good guy. So it's. And his name was in the media. The media loved Kissinger, you know. And
the media is all Jewish. He's one of them. I mean, this is one thing that, you know, Steve Fox, who's our VIP, did not want to get involved in too much politics. He's more of an economic guy. I respect I guess. He did not want to go down the political road. He wanted to talk about politics. I meant economic indicators, excuse me, not politics, and the Hollywood stuff. But now the next show he comes on, we're going to get in. He loves space, the Apollo mission. So when I have a guest on, this is not the Jew show. This is a show about everything. And that includes everybody, right? So I thought it was a very good interview. We had a lot of fun, a lot of good banter. But Kissinger is dead.
I love Batman.
And I love the Penguin story. But with Kissinger dead and knowing that Steve Fox met the Penguin, can you go to bed tonight with more safety and security, sir, for you and your family?
I think so. But and the unfortunate thing is there are 1,000 waiting behind him just like him. And that's the scary thing, you know.
That is scary.
You know, we're in insane times.
Kissinger Jr.'s out there. Oh, great. Great.
So
wonderful.
Fun.
Thanks a lot, Brett. You just ruined my entire weekend. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Now, Bulldog, you're right.
The ultimate optimist, you know,
right.
But it's just sometimes you wake up and it's like it really seems like it's a losing battle. But you know what? It will take everybody rising up and fighting against it at one day, and they will get to the point where they will wake up this giant that's really in a lot of Americans, and I think they're afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but maybe it'll take some kind of revolution. It really, really, there needs to be some kind of revolution. But
in this show, we're not afraid to mention anybody by name or anything of that nature. I always say we hate all groups equally, just to make it fair, right?
All groups equally.
All groups are hated equally. Nobody is given preferential treatment. And now let's get on and talk about diversity is our strength. Just kidding.
Right.
We know Ireland's going through that crap where the government saying diversity was your strength, was your fucking strength. And the Irish people are saying, screw you. And I think this weekend, man, it's going to blow up. What do you think? Maybe it needs to.
I don't know. I hope not. You know, I hope that, you know, but there needs to be somebody who's going to say, look, the borders are wide open. We cannot handle this. This will financially take our country down. And we need to somebody. They deliberately want the borders open. It's obvious. And,
that's right.
And that nobody's doing anything. And then that is, you know, I wish we would just, we talk about the semiconductors and the plants coming back here. That's great. But, man, it's almost like they're putting it out there to just as just a front. But in reality, we're being run over, you know.
We are.
Just, and, you
we
know,
can't
so,
absorb the whole damn Central America into America. You know? Can't do it.
Yeah. You know, and there will be a point where we will, if we can turn this all around and just focus on diversity and assimilation with everybody working together to make America strong, you know, that would be a beautiful thing. And, you know, we can always have faith and hope and you know, right? So.
Well, I pose the question to the chat room, is Brett the Surfer safe when he goes to Mexico for vacation? We pray for your safety, my good friend.
Yeah. You know I always take care of myself. And
I know.
You know.
I know you do.
You know.
Wild stuff, man.
Right on, brother.
What else is going on in your life? Anything else happening?
Just I'm enjoying the cool weather in Arizona. We put up with, especially in
thank God.
Phoenix, you know,
we earn this. We earn it. Yeah, I know.
110 degrees. So yeah, we've earned this. The high today was 69, I think. 68.
Yeah. I flew out of here for about 2 weeks, maybe three last summer. I had a flight up north. Had to get out of here. Well, Brett, man, thanks for calling the show and for being a great fan of the show. And we appreciate you, buddy.
Have a great night, man. Keep it going, man.
Surf that wave, brother. Surf that wave. All right, man.
I will.
Take care.
All right, man.
Let's get the Gunslinger on from Texas. Gunslinger, how are you doing tonight, sir? How are you?
Pretty good, knowing that another Jew bastard is dead. Yay! Another one back to the
Another globalist Jew bastard who hated America. He hates our military. He called our military. Mm-hmm. Just so you know out there, I'm no Kissinger fan. Capiche? He called our military soldiers cattle that should be slaughtered.
Yep.
His own words. He gives Jews a bad name, and he is one. Typical Jew, hate to say it, they can start the wars. They don't want to fight them, and they want the goyim to fight all his foreign wars. Well, fuck you, Kissinger. You're in hell. Right. Enjoy the flames. Go ahead,
well,
sir.
I hope they have a special place in hell for these Jew bastards, you know, with kissing my ass Kissinger and Frankenstein, Frankenstein or whatever that bitch's name was. These people they hate America. I mean, come on. When you when you say things like they say, especially Frankenstein that spent her whole fucking Jew bitch life hating guns, hating America, hating the Second Amendment, trying to get rid of the Second Amendment. Remember what that shade said. If I could get all the votes, Mr. and Mrs. America would turn them all in. fuck yes. you burn in hell. Sorry, bitch. Okay. I don't care what
shiny spy driver for 20 years.
For 20 years, yeah.
Stupid Jew bitch.
I don't care what branch these people are in. They're evil. They are rotten to the core. Okay? The bankers. Look at the bankers. They're all Jews. They're the top shells are Jews. Look at the filth that comes out of California. Hey. The all the movies and shit. Jew. That's all you fucking see. Okay? I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing that for a group of people that think they are the chosen ones, yeah, chosen ones to go to hell, okay, they're not chosen shit. When you have a race of people that crucified God itself, because it's an entity, okay, you going to say you're the chosen ones? Come on. Nigger, please, as the old saying goes. All right? It's the race. I mean, they knew who this entity was at the time. The Jewish prophets knew it. They knew exactly. But yet, they hung him up there on that cross. Holy shit. I mean, come on. And then
the Jews said, give us Barabbas, that Jewish murderer. Yeah, we wanted the Jewish murderer over the Son of God. And they wonder why they have so many problems. Well,
yeah,
I would say it's biblical. The reason why you have so many problems, maybe, just maybe, you're not the chosen people, and just maybe it had something to do with a guy named Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The mighty Christo. Yeah. Just maybe.
You know, they whine. You know how Jesus. Yeah, you know, you hear them all the time. You know how these Jews whine and cry and all this bullshit. Oh, we're so persecuted. Oh, look, they killed 6 million of us. Hey, motherfuckers, there wasn't even 6 million Jews in all of Europe at the time. So how could they kill 6 million Jews?
It's a lie.
That is a proven fucking fact. That there wasn't 6 million Jews in all of fucking Europe at that time. Okay? It's been proven over and over and over. Numbers do not lie. They can be manipulated.
Americans are stupid and programmed and brainwashed to believe that crap.
Brainwashed. It is.
Ovay, ovay.
I forgot about that one. It's just like all the other crap that we have been programmed to believe. Oh, the government is great. What's the fear words? We're from the government. We're here to fucking help. Yeah, bullshit. Where they help? They don't.
That's what I say.
They don't help shit. Yeah, I mean, if the government would stay the fuck out of everybody's business, the economy would bloom like a whole damn sea of flowers. They're mm-hmm. the ones keeping everything down with their bullshit regulations, all this shit, everything across the board, including guns. And you know why I'm called the gunslinger, okay?
Damn right.
What part of the
while we're talking, I'm mixing a drink. Keep on going, sir. You're on a roll.
What part of the Second Amendment
here,
these fuckers don't understand? I don't understand it. It is simple. The founding fathers of this great country, and remember, there's nothing wrong with this country. America is the fucking greatest country since dinosaur days, okay? It's your government
yes.
that's fucked up. It's the government that's fucked up. There's nothing wrong with the soil out there, okay, even what the soil you're standing on, sitting on, whatever, okay? It's the government, when they put their fucking little greedy little fucking fingers in everybody's fucking business, taxes, tax on this, tax on that, tax on fucking this, tax on pussy, tax on everything. It's got to stop somewhere. Okay?
Stop those taxes on the damn pussies. We're tired of paying those higher rates.
I don't know. That's right.
Women giving up for free. It's about time.
That's that. That's about fucking time. I mean,
he was talking
about the sales on these vehicles. Okay, a little bitty short little paragraph story here. Back in 1970, which hasn't been that long, unless you're one of us old farts like me, okay, my dad bought a brand new 3/4-ton Ford pickup. Heavy duty. It was all metal. It was a damn battleship. A big old V8 in it, you know, I think V90, the standard compound gear in it. Heavy duty pulling package, the whole fucking nine yards for $1,500 off the showroom floor. Okay, so what's changed? What's changed? Now everything's made out of plastic. You'd have to have a deuce, a ton and a half to equal that Ford pickup truck. And boy, we beat the shit out of that zombie. It died at about 600,000 miles. I mean, we did everything with that thing. Okay, so the same thing. What has changed? Nothing has changed. Okay, it's just a different day, different year. So, you know, these people
right.
that sells all these fucking cars, all these were $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 fucking $1,000 should go out of business. They deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve it. Just like with these electric cars. Every one of these motherfuckers that sell these goddamn electric cars.
We don't care about their bottom line. We care about their fucking bottom line. That's their problem, not my problem. Right. If you screw over America, you get what you deserve, like the Joker said. Simply put.
And then, like I said, with these electric vehicles, shove it up your goddamn ass. They don't work. Okay? Now, electric technology is fucking fabulous. I know I'm a retired bachelor electrician, electrical engineer. Okay, I understand that shit. But the battery technology is not there. And it probably won't be there for another 60 years minimum. Minimum. But they think, oh, this is all green. Electric cars are green. I'm going to turn green. I'm going to piss green. No, you ain't. You're a dumb fuck. You think that. Anybody that buys this shit is a dumb fuck. Let me spell it out
dude.
For you.
They are totally
dumb
fuck. Dumb fuck.
That's right.
Love it.
Dumb fuck. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I'm green. And we're not green with envy. We just know you're stupid.
Because you're stupid. Okay. And then they say, well, I'm with some type of energy provider, and we get a green energy. No, you don't, you dumbass. Electricity is dirty. That's why we call it dirty.
No such thing as green energy anyway. It's a leftist phrase. It's a made-up phrase. It's like climate change. It's green energy. Climate change is called the seasons, dumb fucks.
Yeah.
It's called the four seasons. That's climate change.
It's climate change.
It's raining outside. Oh, my God. It must be climate change. We got some snow coming in Flagstaff. It's got to be climate change. More rain in Dallas? Climate change.
You can put it real simply. All these different forms of power generation, it goes into a big old pot, okay? And everybody draws out of this pot, okay? That's the simplest way to put the electrical distribution in this country, even worldwide for that matter, okay? I don't care if it's solar. I don't care if it's wind. I don't care if it's nuclear. I don't care if it's burning fucking cow farts. It doesn't matter. It all goes into one big old pot, and everybody is pulled off that fucking pot. So it all gets dirty, unless you have your own backyard solar or your own wind generator out there. Okay, that's great. But it's not good for big major distribution. It never will be. It goes against the law of physics, okay? Oh, that's crazy. And, you know, crime is on the rise. You know, a lot of these fucking criminals today needs a good dose of my favorite saying, Dr. Love Lead.
Yeah.
That would put an end to most of the crime. Okay.
They need a massive dose of Dr. Love Lead.
Yes, they do.
God.
Okay. Multiple doses, you know? Because this is the only thing a criminal is going to understand is what comes out of the end of a barrel of a gun. You know that. Everybody knows
I know.
Okay. Oh, We can't have guns. Oh, that's violent. Oh, that. Oh, they're nasty. Yeah, guns kill. That's what they're designed to do. Well, let's see. What else kills? Let's see. Cars kill. Doctors kill. Buses kill. Ships sink. Fucking airplanes fall from the sky. They kill, don't they? Let's outlaw all them motherfuckers. Let's see where we will be. Wake up, people. Wake the fuck up. Please. Nigga, please. The other one goes. And the only one way to solve the entire fucking criminal deal is with this. That's it. That solves the problem. Have a nice night.
Good night. Gunslinger, thank you for the call. Thank you, sir. One of your best rants ever. And the history of the Von Lee Show. Love it, man. Have a great night, bud. Looking forward to your next one next week. All right. Big Gunslinger has left the building. He's out there somewhere.
All right, folks. Calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
That's the best. Well, we're in overtime. We're going to get to EMP and then the Gladiator from the Vegas Strip. And then we got more calls after that. EMP, you're live on the Von Lee Show. How are you doing tonight, sir?
You know, I heard your guy earlier, you know, and him talking about wanting to talk about the space program, right? The Apollo Gemini and stuff like that. My biggest question about the space program is this. You know, and we've all seen Apollo 13, right? You know, Tom Hanks and what's his face and all this stuff. My biggest question is this. Of all the stuff that it took to get those three guys back, so-called get them back to Earth, right? They had to go around the moon, slingshot around the moon, and they had to jury-rig several different things to get back to Earth. My question is this. If they had to do all that stuff on the fly, okay, how could they know that they had to put all this stuff together to make a breathing apparatus? Or how did they know, you know, how did they know how to do that? How did they come up with that? I mean, that's my biggest question. I mean, they couldn't have, I mean, it was said in the movie when everything started to go to shit, right? You're telling me this is a government operation. You know, they're talking about shimmies and bangs and the big explosion that happened on Apollo 13 at the time, you know. And it's like, they figured out what the explosion was, whatever. I get that. That's easy to do, okay. Not so easy, but that's the simplest thing to do. Figuring out what that explosion was, which was a coil inside an oxygen tank, right? Basically threw a spark into the oxygen as they were stirring it, and it blew up. It blew one half of the spaceship off the spaceship, right? So all the stuff that happened after that, putting together an air filter, doing this, all this stuff, and shutting down the computer, figuring out what it would take to shutting down to bring the computer back online. Now, my big deal with the computer in that thing is late 1960s, early 1970s computers took up how much room? Right? They took up basically a block. Right?
Right.
You know, big old build, maybe even a three-story building, right? And there's not very much room in those space capsules, right? So in other words, they would have to have built that thing around a computer.
Right.
To get that computer in
I
that
follow
space capsule.
Right.
So, and then if, you know, and, you know, the shrinking, the miniaturization of stuff didn't really come in until the late 70s, early 80s with the space shuttle. Right? So how did they get that thing in and have to be able to, you know, not only get the computer in, but get the guys in there? Because those weren't, you know, those were average-sized guys, but they were, you know, 200 pounds, you know, maybe 180, between 190, 180 and 200-pound guys, all three of those guys, right, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how'd they get the computer in? How'd they get the guys in there? Of course, they had to hook up to the lunar excursion. That's another lunar module that was basically so-called a lifeboat there that helped them to get home. And there was another computer in that thing. So how'd that computer get there? How'd that thing get built to get that computer get that in there? And there's a bunch of questions about that whole situation.
We have a lot of smart people, EMP, who figured it all out. We have a lot of smart people in America and in our scientific community who figured it all out, sir. That's my answer.
That's our answer, but there's still questions about that whole situation, you know.
I'm just being facetious. I agree with you. Very suspect to me.
Right. As far as Kissinger goes, he's the guy that got us the whole China situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look, man, it's just a lot of controversy about the moon landings and the Apollo missions. A lot.
Yep. A lot of controversy. But as like I said, as far as Kissinger goes, though, you mentioned Kissinger earlier. As far as he goes, he's the one that got us with the trouble with China. And we got a most favored trading status with China and shit. When we should have just left them well enough alone and let them destroy themselves like all good communist countries do, you know, because we wouldn't couple ourselves with them, we wouldn't be worried about them now, you know. That's just a fact. That's just a fact of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that evil Jew bastard that said, "Oh, you got to go in there and go to China and become friends with China." People might not like Richard Nixon and all that stuff, but
I like Nixon.
He got some pretty goddamn bad advice from Kissinger. You know,
the way it was supposed to work under Tricky Dick Nixon was, you know how they always say the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? And also the other saying kicks in that it's called the law of unintended consequences. I know a lot about Nixon's trip to China, and let me explain. I'll put you on a hold here, okay? When Nixon went to China, what most Americans don't know is he basically set it up where America would trade with the communist China. He was looking for more markets for American companies because Nixon pretty much still had a globalist view. You've got to be as a president, right? You've got to know about the world. He was really a pro-American president, good guy, and a good president. Liked the American people. He genuinely liked the American people. He wasn't like the people that are up there today. He used to rail against the globalists and the Jews and the Nixon White House tapes, which the Jews and the media didn't like, and that's why they tried to castrate him and make him impotent as the president, because they were mad. Mr. Goldstein at the New York Times was mad that Nixon was calling them out and saying they were subverting the nation by their columns, their editorials, their newspaper headlines. Everything was negative. And so you hear Nixon go, that the damn Jews at the New York Times. Well, he was right. We get back to China for a minute. China under Nixon and Kissinger, look, Nixon dispatched Kissinger to open it up. That was a job, and he succeeded. Okay. That was a good move on both your part. But it was never designed for China to be a powerhouse, for China to be a superpower, to rival the United States. They were a backward Maoist communist country, kind of like North Korea back in the day. We wanted markets. They had a little bit of money. They had minerals, slave labor force, and they had some money. We wanted that cash. We could sell them TVs, refrigerators, microwaves, a few cars here or there for the elite commie leaders. So we were starting to sell things to them at America's trade deficit, but we had no deficit with China in the first several years. We profited off that for about 20 years, did very, very well. And then we developed China a little bit and said, hey, why don't you guys start making nuts and bolts? Why don't you guys start making some chips or start making some little electronic stuff? Kind of like how we got Japan going after the war. We told Japan, start making, you know, motorcycles, lawnmowers for the American economy, toys for our kids. Later, in the late 80s, China was getting rich off American trade. Under Clinton, he bastardized it with our congressman, and now China was getting to be an economic powerhouse. For a while, China was called the factory of the world. And not so much today, because they're imploding now. But if they had stuck to business, they would be a powerhouse. I'm glad in a weird way that China went the war footing route, because it's completely imploded their once great economy. Now everyone goes to Vietnam and Hanoi, another communist country, to get things done. That's where my friends went to make their shoes. It wasn't China. They first went to China. They found a much better deal a decade ago in Vietnam. Cheaper, better quality, and just as good, you know, workmanship. So the whole thing with China has morphed into this beast where everyone blames Nixon for two things. China, don't blame Nixon. Nixon set it up perfect with America. He set it up. He never wanted China to get that big, that powerful, that. But what happened was our corrupt presidents like Clinton, the Bushes, and Obama since then have totally propped China up big time. We sold them secrets. On my show, we know about Dianne Feinstein's Chinese spy, who was her limousine driver for 20 years. How many secrets did the Jewish Feinstein give to China in 20 years? A lot. A lot. I bet a lot. And over the years, Kissinger distanced himself from America, started to make very disparaging comments about Americans, our military, going back 30 or 40 years. So the reason why people are celebrating him is, number one, he's anti-American. He's anti-American people. Hate to say, the typical Jewish elitist parasite, and that's what he said and did. So our leaders in the last 20 years have made China the beast that they are today, and it was never Nixon's intention. Also, Nixon got us off the gold standard for damn good reason. The reason? The European nations wanted gold. They did not want our currency back in 1968. They demanded gold under a gold standard, you must give them gold if they demand it. That's called the gold standard. Well, America was losing tons and tons of gold in international shipments. Nixon saw the wealth, the real wealth. Leaving our nation said, well, F this. We are going off the gold standard because I can't wean the Europeans, especially, and the Asians off the gold. We've got to make them take our currency. Smart move. That's why he got us off the gold. It wasn't to harm the American economy. It was to preserve what little gold we had left at Fort Knox. EMP, your final thoughts to America.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And look, here's the deal. I mean, you've got Feinstein. You've got what was the guy's name that slept with that with Fang Fang?
Swalwell, you know, and Fang Chinese. Fang. Swalwell.
Swalwell and Fang Fang. You've got Clinton. Remember those? Remember when the big thing was Clinton was selling the Lincoln bedroom? Well, who was he selling it to? The Chinese.
That's right.
All right. That's right. So he was selling, what was his name, Charlie Tree and others that came
yeah.
over to, you know, to get, and they were stealing our intellectual properties as well. I mean, look, what we do when we go to war, that old Toby Keith song, The Angry American, we'll put a boot in your ass, right? But what we do is after we put that boot in your ass, we turn that boot around and we teach you how to make that boot to get you going. That's what we did with Japan, right? We beat them into the ground and Germany, we beat them into the ground and then we turned them and helped them out and got them going, right? You know, and then in
right.
the 80s,
the Marshall Plan.
With the Marshall Plan and with the Chinese, with the Japanese in the 80s, electronics and all that stuff. So, yeah,
sure.
We do that. And look, we would be in a better situation if our friend from the 1950s had been allowed to do his thing and get the communists out of the government. You know?
Oh, I agree, McCarthy. Absolutely.
McCarthy,
I know.
Yes. And of course, people will say, well, you're being mean to these people who may have, oh, they accidentally went to these meetings. You know, these Hollywood people accidentally went to these meetings. No, it was, in my mind, it was no accident that these people ended up at these meetings in the 50s, in the 40s, 50s, whatever. It was no
accident. I agree.
You know,
none
that's
at all.
The thing. That's what they don't understand is there was no accident. And when after the war, when we brought a bunch of these Russian communists over and they ended up, where'd they end up? They ended up in the government. McCarthy
mm-hmm.
was right. He was right. And he's been right and he's been proven right. And if he'd been allowed to keep going on the vein he was going in, maybe, just maybe, we would have been in a better situation. And
well, if it wasn't for the Nazis and the Germans, America wouldn't have had a space program to begin with, to be honest. It wasn't the Nazis
right.
conformed very well to American society. Remember Hitler and the Nazis, they admired America. They liked it, and they admired it. But the communists, the Stalin people that were in the government, oh, that's the danger. That's the Red Scare. That's the Red Menace. They loathed America. They still do. They hate America. They want America to burn. And they hate regular Americans. Can't stand them. And they're still up there. They're still there.
And that's the thing. Also,
and their offspring.
Right. And one other thing, Vaughn, about the Chinese communists, they hate America too. Right, and they're probably
they do.
A few communists, but again, the reason why they hate Trump is that he equalized with tariffs the trade imbalance with China. And right. What was one of the first things that he that the mashed potato brains in the White House did? He got rid of the tariffs.
He did. He did. Yep, that's part of his legacy. But you kill one terrorist, four or five sprout up. EMP, thanks so much, man. Have a great night, buddy. Good talking to you, as
gotcha.
You always. Thank you, sir. Great call. Well, get a cocktail. We're going to get back here in a moment to talk to the Gladiator, the Las Vegas Strip. Love that. A little bit of Edie Gourmet, classic kind of a 70s, late 60s thing. Sabos que te quiero, the song. Well, will Ireland burn this weekend? All indicators are that it will. We had Steve Fox on as our earlier VIP guest, who brought up many interesting points. Let's get down to the Gladiator. They're in the Las Vegas Strip. It's a power-packed show tonight, and we aim to please, and we never disappoint our audience. Gladiator, are you there?
I am, man. What's happening?
What's happening? It's been a good show, man. Lots going on tonight, you know?
I got these points. Ready?
All right. I'm ready.
Best gunslinger ever. I got three.
Yes.
So when I grow up, by the way, when I grow up, I want to be a gunslinger.
Yes.
I'm calling you right now. My brand new apartment overlooking the Las Vegas Strip, from the Stratosphere to the Wynn to the Venetian, Mirage, the Link, Caesar's Palace, Bellagio, Aria. I'm pinching myself, and the Sphere lights up my entire balcony. Okay. So I'm about six Pacifico beers down in my ice bucket here. And
nice.
The three best lines out of the Gunslinger tonight. You ready?
Yes.
First, it's a classic to hear the Gunslinger say, "Nigga, please." Okay, I was cracking.
That was hilarious.
Number two, when he said no tax on pussy, I fucking hit the floor. Okay, I was dying. I was trying to die.
Pussy galore. We have hoe inflation, Paul. It's called hoe inflation.
Yeah, and the third one, the third best line, and I completely lost it because I was already cracking up. And the first two was, "You're a dumb fuck." And I was just like,
and Gunslinger is correct on all counts.
And then about, like, when you guys were talking, I don't know if it was you or the Gunslinger said, Henry Kissinger gives all the Jews a bad name, but I'm pretty certain that the Jews have had a bad name since April of the year zero. So for 2023, bad name for that.
Yes, I said that. I said Kissinger gives the Jews a bad name.
Right. So, and then I want to answer EMP's question.
That's how bad Kissinger is in my book. He's that bad. He goes back 2,000 years. He's fucking ancient. He's finally dead.
Yeah.
Thank God.
The Jews have had a bad name since they killed Jesus.
But anyways, so then I want to answer EMP's question about Apollo 13 or anybody's question about any of this freaking flights to the moon. They never went. It was all done in the New Mexico desert. Number one,
exactly.
Figured out anything because all they had to do was make a phone call from Houston to New Mexico and say, just pretend that you're refiguring this like little abacus that we're counting on, because there was no fucking.
Exactly.
Here's
the way they literally had a space abacus. I saw it in a fucking video. A space advocate.
Go figure.
The middle from the ancient countries of mighty Arabia invented that. The Middle East invented the abacus.
Right. So,
and they were using, Paul, I saw you're spot on. Yeah, we never went to the moon, folks, or any of these stupid space missions. It's all fakery, Hollywood fakery.
Yeah, and if anybody's
funny.
The slingshot around the moon, the aliens on the backside of the moon, the dark side, would have killed them anyways, right? So
exactly. We never did a slingshot around the moon. It's so stupid that they want us to believe all this crap.
We could barely keep the shuttle program in, like, just in our atmosphere in outer space, right? So if anybody's got a Yahoo account, a Yahoo email account, at least once every 2 weeks, when you go to log into Yahoo, you can't even log in, so they can't even keep their email straightened out. I was just at the Wells Fargo Tower here, that is right behind the Venetian earlier, and I couldn't even get my fucking card to turn on, and I'm right next to the Wells Fargo Tower. I had to go to another Wells Fargo bank about 2 miles away. So, like, what the fuck is anybody thinking that we went to the goddamn moon in the 60s? What are you, nuts? We never went there.
Thank you.
We'll never get there now. We can barely send a satellite to Mars, let alone go to the moon. It's just fucking ridiculous. Anyways, and then there's one more point I was going to make. What was the last point? I was cracking up, and Was it about Nixon? What was it about? It was so funny. But, you know, again, I'm a six-pack of Pacificos in. So,
exactly. It's kicking in.
But look, man, hey.
With the view of the glorious Vegas Strip.
You know, I went, you know, when I first got in town, I got that other place when I was back in Arizona. And by the way, if anybody ever thinking of moving to Las Vegas, write this down. Never move into any apartment complex that starts with the five-letter word Tides, T-I-D-E-S. Luckily, I had some nice people that worked there to help me get the flip out. Now I'm in my palatial building with security gates, a parking garage, security gate, double gated, overlooking the strip. It's freaking gorgeous. I pinch myself. I just finished handing the keys into the old place today and ready to really start my Las Vegas residency. I'll tell you
love
what.
It.
You know, all the economic strife and everything going on, you know, that's why I looked around like, where am I going to get out of Dodge after you know what I went through over the last year and a half? It was,
one damn thing after the other, you know?
Yeah, I was on a horse barn in the 120-degree heat bubble. So, you know, when I came, now being here, I can tell you this. Economic strife, I mean, it doesn't exist here. That's why I love it here, because everybody with money comes here to spend money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of my choices, one of my decisions. And the entertainment. So if there's any college football fans out there, I played 5 years of college football. Tomorrow, I get to watch the top two Heisman quarterback candidates. One from Oregon, Bo Nix, and one from Washington, Michael Penix, go face-to-face at 12-0 and 11-1 for the Pac-12 title and the Heisman Trophy, because the winner of that game is going to win the trophy. And then the winner of that game gets to go to the four-team college playoff. So I get to do that tomorrow. And now that I'm in my new place.
That's going to be awesome, man.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. It's going to be the best football game.
So cool.
It's going to be awesome. And it's at Raiders Stadium, the Allegiant Stadium. I'm not a pro football guy. I left bones and blood on football fields in college. So I'm super excited about that.
I
get
I know
to watch the Heisman today. And, yeah, man, you're going to love, dude, when you come visit me, you're gonna come and sit on my patio overlooking the strip.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do it.
The Stratosphere to the
I want to sit in that jacuzzi looking at the Vegas Strip with a beer in my hand and a girl in my arms.
Yeah, I forgot. The rooftop jacuzzi and pool is amazing.
I saw that. I said, that's right. I want to see that.
Man, I'm living
in
heaven now.
The kick-ass pad you got there. Kick-ass bachelor pad, I may add.
Yeah, I went
to dinner last night when I finished. Because I'm not going to tell you the name of the place, but it's a 24-hour Italian restaurant with entertainment and all the 70s and 80s entertainers, you know, that were like the opening acts of the big shows. They all
really?
Were there. Dude, you're going to love this joint. It's hilarious. It's awesome. The food's great. It's 24 hours a day. We're going to go to dinner there when you come up and visit. You're going to sit on my patio and be like, I hate you. Because you're living a great life.
That sounds awesome. We're going to do that. I want to see that place.
One of the casinos are now doing fireworks off the roof right in front of me. To the right of the – it's Resort World.
It's entertainment there constant in Vegas. I mean, it's entertainment capital of the fucking world, man.
Dude, Billy Idol. I saw Billy Idol's concert here. It was amazing. In a nice bench, nice small Cosmopolitan.
Love that guy.
Great night. He's still slamming it. I mean, he's singing throat. He's not holding anything back. He's amazing. Sports. Oakland A's are now going to build their stadium. They're going to tear down the Tropicana.
and build the Oakland A's. They're going to become the Las Vegas A's. So we got the Raiders.
Wow.
We got the A's. We got the Golden Knights, who are the hockey champions of the NHL. And I'll tell you what, they're going after three different NBA teams to bring an NBA team in town. So we're going to have all the sports. So if you're a sports person, or if you're a rock and roll or entertainment person, this is going to be a growth, another five-year growth pattern in Vegas. And
wow.
Awesome. You know, I know you come up a few times a year, so you'll be up here soon enough. And we'll go out.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I'll plan the whole thing out, man. Have a great time. You'll love it. And, it'll be fun, man. It'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be cool. That'll be cool, Paul. Yeah. We will do it, man, for sure. Be a good time.
As the gunslinger
now says, because he said it twice in your interview with him today, nigga, please.
Yes. The gunslinger for the Vegas Strip live. God.
One thing.
Good to hear from you, man.
So, gunslinger, I got one thing for you. There will never be a tax on pussy.
Thank God. Women are expensive enough. They're expensive enough, you know? Nice. Thanks, Paul. Good night, buddy.
Right,
have a great night, man. All right, buddy. The gladiator for the Vegas Strip with a beautiful view. I did get a few pictures of this new pad. Let me tell you, it ain't cool Vegas grand for nothing. It's a grand view for a grand man in a grand place. Las Vegas. Vegas. Entertainment capital of the world. Yeah, like I told Paul, my story is I came close to moving there after college. I went to Dallas first, and I came to Phoenix for work, so I had a company here, and you know how life goes. You buy a house, but I always said Vegas was in my top five, would be a fun place to live. The food and beverage, the entertainment, the shows, the sports. You like sports? Well, Vegas is getting everything. I mean, first-class resorts. First-class properties, hotels. You walk in, everything's marble. I love Italian marble. Rat Pack style. And Vegas has that vibe to it. Yeah, it's true. It gets busy on the weekends, but what cool place does it, right? Good town. And I'll be up there. I will be up there again, definitely, in the new year. Then we're going to December. Officially tomorrow, being December the 1st, so this is a big holiday month. A lot going on here, too, in Phoenix, Scottsdale. Wow, what a show tonight. What a show. You know, we had a good VIP. We don't want to scare off our VIPs with too much stuff. That's why I wanted to be kind of, easy going. His first time on the show. He wasn't quite sure what to expect. We talked a few times and before the show. And, he got the feel of it. He had some good things to say. And he's a good guy. Well, it's almost at the end of another broadcast day, but I'll end the show with this. Most people in the world value a certain level of conscience and empathy. Those of you in Apache Junction, look up the word empathy. Trust me, you'll figure it out. In order to make those people support evil things, they must be tricked into believing that evil things are necessary to achieve righteous and peaceful ends. As the saying goes, the road to hell, as I told you before, is paved with good intentions. There's a reason why the founding fathers of this United States specifically warned against trading freedom for the trappings and comforts of government-engineered security, or a nanny state. As Benjamin Franklin said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor
safety. The Irish right now in particular appear to be fed up with their situation, and righteously so. You had three kids knifed by a brown Algerian migrant and an adult female. They almost died. Riots erupted in Dublin after a stabbing attack by this Algerian migrant, and at least three children and that one school employee were knifed. Irish authorities have done nothing but berate the far right, and the media sucks over in Ireland, much like the events of our January the 6th, 2021, our riot in D.C., as you know. A steady series of violations has led to anger, action among more conservative groups across the pond. Government officials are anxious in Ireland and in America to quickly demonize and extinguish any momentum or mobility by those on the political right to express themselves before the government, in their view, loses control of the situation. That is where we are tonight. Tim Allen Gab, GAB.com at the Von Wien Show, where I have posted many videos from Twitter and elsewhere of the Irish riots. I think this weekend will be a tumultuous time. Our fleet's in harm's way in the Persian Gulf. We haven't forgotten about our Navy personnel. We pray for their safety. Well, Biden, the Democrat loser, has put our troops, our sailors, our ships in harm's way. Well, God bless America. Hope she makes it. We are praying for her in Ireland tonight. Have a great night from Mahalo Studios. To sign off on our broadcast day from the mountains of Arizona and this great studio, we salute you all. We shall meet again. I guarantee it.